The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a battle for the ages. 85 years worth of legend on the field. Which one goes to the NFC Championship? Meanwhile, a forgotten superstar is calling for another huge Browns upset this weekend. Wait till you hear who it is. And the two worst teams in the NFL choose their new leaders. Did they both get it right? You've got questions. We've got answers as we get up with you on a Football Friday, starting right now from the Seaport. This is Greeny, and by no means alone. Look at the group we have together and ready to go talking football today. RC is here. Ninkovich is here. Bart Scott ready to go. Kimberly Martin's got all the insight. Let's get right to it. Four fabulous games this weekend, and with apologies to our friend Mr. Van Pelt, how about one big thing from each game? Bart Scott, Rams, Packers, what's one big thing you're looking for?
I want to see Ramsey versus Adams, man, and see if what's a goal to a goblin. Like I said, the closest thing to a lockdown corner, Revis Island type, is Ramsey. He's the best corner in the game, and he's a total eraser. Let's see if he can erase Adams.
That's the matchup that seems to be worth the price of admission. Meanwhile, Ninkovich, you're next. Ravens, Bills, give me one big thing.
How can the Buffalo Bills limit Lamar Jackson's ability to take over a game? We saw it last week with Tennessee. One play. It only takes one play for Lamar to get out, score a touchdown, and turn the whole game around. So the Buffalo Bills have to limit Lamar Jackson's ability to change a game and take it over.
Keep him from making that one big play. Meanwhile, Kimberly, one big thing on Browns Chiefs. That's your game you're covering. What are you watching for?
I'm watching to see if Baker Mayfield has a big day. Last week, the Browns went up 14-0 in less than 5 minutes on Pittsburgh. But what happens if the Browns fall into an early deficit against the Chiefs? They want to stick to who they are, which is running the football. But if they get behind, you can't just turn the clock and run the football. So Baker needs a big day.
And then finally, the matchup of the legends is Tampa and New Orleans. RC, give me one big thing.
Happy Friday, Greeny. What I'm looking for is, can you block and protect Tom Brady? The two games against the New Orleans Saints was the most he was pressured all year. And you know when Tom Brady is under pressure, he goes from the GOAT to Demi Moore doing pottery, and he will see ghosts. If you protect Tom Brady, you give your team a chance to win, Tampa Bay. If you don't, you'll be at home.
All right, it's a pop culture reference, I understand. Meanwhile, in their two previous meetings this year, the Bucs just have not protected Brady. He had his two highest pressure games in those two games against New Orleans this season. And as a result, the results went very much against him. In fact, as we come out and talk about this one a little bit, Bart Scott, the last time they played each other, it was 38-3. Let's focus on the three. Tampa only managed 3 points against this defense. Why should we believe it's going to be different on Sunday?
Because I think finally, Greeny, they've settled on what's the best personnel for them. I think it's two tight ends, putting Brady and Gronk on the field. Listen, we all know as defenders that whenever a team comes out in their Tiger personnel, it limits your ability to have blitz personnel. So, like, it limits your blitz package, and also it makes those edges a lot wider, makes it a lot harder for you to get to Brady, and that allows Brady to step up in the pocket and be able to deliver the ball down the field. But also, it depends on how you're going to decide to match up against that personnel. Do you go light and then allow Gronk to get you in the run game? Or do you go heavy and then you'll spread those guys out and then take advantage of their ability to beat safeties and linebackers? So I think now that Bruce Arians, no risky, no bisky, has to be thrown out the way, they need to make sure that they're steady and limit the risk of Brady and his exposure to the pass rush of New Orleans Saints.
I like it. Gives us something to look for. Do they go with the two tight ends a lot? RC, how do you like it?
No, I love that. And Bart's exactly right. If you go back to the Washington football team against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we were looking for Chase Young, but we weren't focusing on how they got it accomplished. They would bring in the extra linemen. They would also keep the tight ends into block. Listen, when you have a Chris Godwin, a Mike Evans, a Cameron Brate, Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, you don't need everyone in the pass route at the same time. Also, look to the play action pass. Last game, they ran the ball 30 times. That allowed Tom Brady to get in his wheelhouse with the play action pass, drop back, and make plays. They finally found out that you can get biscuits without risking it. You can go to Whole Foods where they are checking temperatures at the door, and you have to wear masks and leave out there with the right nutrition. And that's what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing now. They understand that protecting Tom Brady is number one, but they can still create big plays down the field if he has the time. This is a great adjustment by Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians, and we've seen it pay dividends the last 5 weeks of the season. I expect it to do the same against the New Orleans Saints.
Meanwhile, Rob Ninkovich, you know all about playing huge games with Tom Brady, having been his teammate all these years. Give us a sense of what he's like going into a game like this.
Well, look, he's always competitive no matter what. In the regular season, into the playoffs, I think we even saw it last week against Washington, just that fire inside of him. He wants to make sure that everybody on that field understands that these are one-game seasons. And if you mess up and you don't have a complete game in these one-game seasons, your season is over. You're done. So I think he just, going into the playoffs, steps it up a little bit more as far as accountability and trying to make sure that motor's running on all cylinders. And if, look, in the NFL, it's really hard to beat a team twice. It's even harder to beat that same team three times. So if you're Tampa, you're looking at those two tapes from earlier in the season, and you're trying to gain as much knowledge on that game as you can so you can put your best foot forward. And I can guarantee that they're going to protect Tom, because that's the Achilles heel. If they don't protect Tom, that's a wrap. So they got to go out there, they protect Tom. If Tom isn't getting the rubber pellets out of his ears and his eyes, they'll probably win this football game.
Look, I mean, they have been a different team offensively the last 5 weeks. They haven't played a winning team in that stretch. This one obviously will be an entirely different kind of test. Speaking of which, to our next game, which is the Browns and the Chiefs, and it's a monster matchup. And let's talk about the quarterback, the legend, Patrick Mahomes, who had a career-high 82.9 total QBR this year. That was second in the league behind Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of career highs, Travis Kelce finished with over 1,400 receiving yards this year, the most ever by a tight end. It was his fifth straight 1,000-yard season. That is also an all-time NFL record. And if the Chiefs win, they'd be hosting the AFC Championship game for a third straight season. That would match the longest streak since the round was established after the 1970 merger. So a lot of history on the Chiefs side, and Vegas is on the Chiefs side. But you know who's on the Browns side? Odell Beckham Jr. Remember, he's still on the Browns, and he tweeted last night, "Don't be surprised this weekend when they win." Just throwing it out there now. So Odell is confident. Kimberly Martin, you've been with the Browns now the last 3 weeks, and you continue to cover them here. So open up the notebook. What are we looking for on Sunday?
The best part about this Browns team is that they don't care what you think, what I think, certainly not what Ryan and Rob think, because they're confident,
wow,
yet not cocky. They really, because here's the thing, nobody gave them a chance, at least in their minds. They feel like nobody gave them a chance last week against Pittsburgh, and we saw that beatdown. And they felt like Pittsburgh even looked past them. I don't think the Chiefs are going to have that problem this week, but the Browns right now, they've got their head coach back off the COVID list. They've got all but one player, Joel Bitonio, off that COVID list, and he's expected to be off by Sunday's game. This is a team that feels like each week we've got to do our job. We get contribution from everybody. It's going to take a team effort. But talking to guys on the phone, on Zoom, listening to them, they believe, not that they're just lucky to be here, that they deserve to be here, that they should be here, and that they could win. So the Browns right now are carrying some heavy, like, why not us against the world mentality and momentum into this game against the defending champs.
Which I like, and they deserve that. Yes. They have played well enough. They've earned their way here. But RC, here's the part of it that concerns me. Their weakness, I think, is the worst weakness to have against Kansas City, right? Their weakness is in pass defense on that back end. And if anyone is going to shred that, it's Patrick Mahomes. So how do they prevent that from happening?
You know what? It's going to be difficult. It's going to have to be a huge game by the front four of the Cleveland Browns. And we've watched them dominate games at times, especially Myles Garrett. But you have to get to Patrick Mahomes. Honestly, though, Greeny, I don't expect them to stop Patrick Mahomes. I don't expect this team to keep the Kansas City Chiefs under 28 points. So then it falls on Baker Mayfield. Let's go back to the one game that Patrick Mahomes lost this season. It wasn't that the Las Vegas Raiders did a great job in pass defense early on in the game. But there was a stretch where they were creating turnovers, they were creating pressure, and Derek Carr was hitting big plays against the Kansas City Chiefs. Derek Carr had 5 plays of over 40 yards in that game. And that's what Baker Mayfield is going to have to do. Baker Mayfield is going to have to stand across from Patrick Mahomes, understand that it can't just be about running the football, that he's going to have to go toe-to-toe with him as he did when he was at Oklahoma and Patrick Mahomes was at Texas Tech in that shootout. Defensively, you have to come up with a play. You have to come up with a turnover. You need to come up with a strip fumble. It's not about stopping the Kansas City Chiefs the entire game. It's about coming up in critical situational football moments, and that's going to be on the front four of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it makes sense. And, Ninko, I'm also thinking of the 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game when the Patriots basically kept Patrick Mahomes on the bench the entire first half and then hung on for dear life and won in the second. And that feels like it's a formula here as well.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much is the blueprint. What's the best way to beat Kansas City? And that would be to keep that offense off the field. So I think the Cleveland Browns are going to have to run the football, have long 10, 12, 14 play drives to really eat up the clock to where at the end of the game, every time Kansas City has touched the ball, they have to score. So you don't have the touches to where, okay, they kick a field goal, then they score, you know, then they have a touchdown, then they kick another field goal. No. They have to score every time they touch the ball if they have limited touches. So I think for the best case scenario for Cleveland would be to go in there, run the football because that's what they do well, mix in your play action pass, and move the ball down the field methodically, use up that clock so the time of possession is in their favor.
I just want to point out that stat that Hembo popped up there quickly again. When Mahomes starts and they win the time of possession, Kansas City is 20-1. That tells you everything you need to know. All right, so a huge playoff weekend ahead of us. But at the same time, 3 big coaching moves made over the last 24 hours in the NFL. Let's start with this. This morning, Diana Russini is reporting that the Falcons have offered their head coaching position to Arthur Smith, who has spent the last 2 seasons as the Titans offensive coordinator. Last night, the New York Jets hired 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to be their head coach. According to Shefty, that's a 5-year deal for him. And as we expected, Urban Meyer will be back on the NFL sidelines as coach of the Jaguars. He's one of the most successful college coaches in the history of the sport, taking his talents now, if you will, to the NFL. Here's a statement from Urban that says, quote, "I've analyzed this decision from every angle. The time is right in Jacksonville, and the time is right for me to return to coaching. I'm excited about the future of this organization and our long-term prospect for success." And obviously part of that would be you can draft Trevor Lawrence. They have a ton of draft capital. They have a ton of free agent dollars. Kimberly, what can you tell us about the hiring of Urban Meyer in Jacksonville?
Yeah, isn't it interesting, Greeny, that Urban Meyer, somebody who we've seen go from one really good position to another, decides that this is, to quote him, the right time to come out of coaching, out of the booth, and get back into coaching? And like you said, the big reason is that quarterback spot. They got the number one overall pick, Trevor. I think that shows the value of Trevor Lawrence and what somebody like Urban Meyer, the fact that he would come back out of retirement again. This is a guy who went to Florida, who was in Florida, retired over health concerns, went to Ohio State, again retired. So now I think the big question a lot of people wonder is how long is he actually going to be here? Urban didn't say much in that statement, but he's expected to talk to reporters today at 11:30. So he's going to be asked a lot about his health concerns and how long he plans to be in Jacksonville.
He is 56 years old. He'll be 57 by the time next season kicks off. He also joins a long list of notable college head coaches who make the jump to the NFL. And recent history has been mixed. Not a lot of success. You see some of the names and some of the records on there. Jim Harbaugh did lead the Niners to the Super Bowl. He's one play away from winning it. He had real success with the 49ers. But you see other names, legends like Nick Saban and Steve Spurrier, and particularly Bobby Petrino did not find that kind of success. So, RC, let me come to you on this one if I can here. How quickly do you think? They were 1-15. How quickly can he have Jacksonville in the playoffs?
I don't think it's very quickly. Anytime you're going to start your organization over with a new quarterback, with a new head coach, and a head coach who hasn't necessarily been in this league without a lot of veteran leadership on your team, I think it's difficult to build a winner right away. Now, can this team get better? Well, absolutely. They only won one football game, so you'll see progression. You'll see a different level of success, but I don't think this team competes right away. You mentioned Jim Harbaugh. Think about some of the players that were on that team, some of the veterans that he inherited with that defense that was extremely good with Dante Hittner and with, you know, Patrick Willis, and also offense that was run by a veteran quarterback in Alex Smith. That won't be the same situation in Jacksonville. So it's going to take time for Urban Meyer to put his imprint on this team and build that character that he wants the Jacksonville Jaguars to be. But that doesn't mean he can't do it over time.
Well, you brought up something, Bart, in our meeting this morning that really fascinated me. Something that if you were in Jacksonville right now, you would strongly consider. Tell everybody what that is.
Well, absolutely. I would strongly consider trading that pick and trying to get Deshaun Watson. Now, I know it's within the division, but I would try and move and get a veteran, you know, at that position, because it's going to be hard. They're going to get a division that has two teams within their winning window right now in Indianapolis and Tennessee. You know, so now you think about Urban Meyer. Can he make that adjustment to dealing with grown men and not dealing with kids? Because what happens if you're dealing with young adults, it's a dictatorship in college. It's a partnership in the pros. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to find some guys that's going to buy in, that's going to sell his message in the locker room. And to do that, you have to win the veterans. The good thing is they got rid of Fournette. They got rid of Ramsey. They got rid of Boye. All guys that will have strong personalities that can maybe turn the tide away from you. But when guys struggle like Nick Saban, when guys struggle like Petrino, when guys struggle coming from the college ranks, it's because they think they're talking to student athletes and not grown men that got mortgages, kids, and other responsibilities that'll tell you about yourself. And oftentimes, they got more power than you have. So as soon as he understands that, the better he'll be. But they're not going to win for a long time. And will he have the patience to endure 2-3 losing seasons before it turns around?
Yeah, they're going to have the opportunity to put together kind of whatever team he wants. Again, they have a ton of draft picks. They have a bunch of free agent money. They haven't won a game since week one of last season. And most likely, they will have Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback. So it should be a fascinating scenario. Let's watch and see what they do. Meanwhile, the other decision that was made last night, as mentioned, the New York Jets have hired the man they're now calling Mr. Green, 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, as their new head coach. That's the cover of today's New York Post. Let me come back to Kimberly Martin here. Kimberly, you've covered that team. You know them well. What are you hearing about why the Jets chose Robert Saleh?
Greeny, it's a good day to be a Jets fan, right? You know, what really impressed the Jets front office was that Saleh came in. He's got a presence when he walks in the room, number one. But they love his leadership ability. We saw what he did in San Francisco, taking that defense, being a player's coach. Those guys love him over there. Richard Sherman tweeting about it. But the Jets also love the fact that there was a good rapport between him and Joe Douglas and team president Jaime Elhai. They love that Saleh was able to present and articulate a clear plan for how to turn this franchise, push it in a new direction. Now, that doesn't mean a new direction means a new quarterback. Time will tell, but they love what they've seen. Now, that said, being a head coach is a lot different than being a defensive coordinator. You're now the CEO of a franchise. And just because he was a coveted head coaching candidate doesn't mean that's going to translate into wins. We saw that with Todd Bowles, who was an assistant coach of the year before he came to the Jets, and Jets fans know how that ended. So there's a lot of reasons for optimism, but also reasons for, like, let's wait a minute and let's see how this all plays out.
Well, I mean, Bart Scott, to quote a great man, I can't wait to see how it winds up going. You know the Jets inside and out. Bart, what do you think of the move?
Well, I think, to Kimberly's point, it's about his presence. It's about being able to inspire. And you see him on the sidelines. He inspired this team. And he's been part of a process, right? Because he was there when this team didn't have a lot of good players. He developed them. He developed the roster. And some of those young players turned out to be perennial Pro Bowlers. You need somebody that's going to come in there and be able to manage the entire football team, and he's been able to do that. And then you're going to look at a young football team. I think this was also a lot about what type of staff he can put together. The fact that he can bring LaFleur over, who can maybe salvage and rehabilitate Sam Darnold to that play action type of style. He's a mobile quarterback. Listen, not all quarterbacks in the league has scheme versatility. They can't play in every system. So a lot of people need their systems to be just as good as the quarterback. And if he's bringing over the Kyle Shanahan downhill running play action type of system, I think it directly benefits Sam Darnold, his ability to push the ball down the field. We just talked about Jacksonville having a lot of money and a lot of draft equity. Well, the Jets have just as much, and I think they're farther along in the process. I think they shore up the offensive line. Sam Darnold feels fine, and I think they eventually pick up his option, and I think they're a lot closer than a lot of people believe. Not just 'cause I'm a former Jet.
Yeah, I got 15 seconds here, but it sounds to me like you think Sam Darnold will be their quarterback next year. Is that right?
I absolutely believe that because you got to consider what the options are. And I think that he can be saved in that type of system. We watched Baker Mayfield be saved by Stefanski. I think this is the same type of rehabilitation tour. And I think he's still young. He's still learning. At the age of 23, you can't give up on talent.
Yep, Shefty suggested the same last night on SportsCenter. That's obviously the first huge decision they will have to make. All right, we're just getting rolling on a Football Friday. Coming up, one is a former MVP. The other, a future MVP. Who do you trust more to make the big plays on Saturday, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? We'll talk about it. Plus, the one big thing that Aaron Rodgers cannot control on Saturday could end up being his kryptonite against the Rams. We dive into all of that, and then we ask you this on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. Which underdog do you think is likeliest to win this weekend? Rams, Ravens, Browns, Bucks? Cast your vote on Twitter. We're back in a flash. This is Get Up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Marvel Studios' new original series, WandaVision, now streaming only on Disney Plus. All right, I can't take a look at this. Charles Pride is the one who's going to throw the alley, and Hall Elizas is going to take care of the oop. Take a look at that last night. It's Bryant against St. Francis. He tips it to himself. He throws it up, and they throw it down. St. Francis would win the game, but there's no question that was the play of the night and one of the great moments in sports last evening. Meanwhile, as we roll on, they were polarizing prospects. Now they're both NFL superstars. So who has the edge tomorrow, Lamar or Josh? And who do our analysts trust more? That plus Dana White on the way. Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Check out my new show debuting in the new year on ESPN Plus. Our show will have expert analysis.
Yes!
Signature debate panel.
Yes!
And can't miss interviews.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com.
That makes me laugh every time. Okay, we got four underdogs this weekend. Let's figure out how they're going to win. RC, finish this sentence. The Rams will win if...
if they dominate defensively and if Cam Akers in the run game take over offensively for the Los Angeles Rams. When you look at some of these games this season, Cam Akers against Arizona, last week against Seattle, takes over the game from a physicality standpoint on offense, and then Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Floyd, Darius Williams, Aaron Donald, they totally dominated defensively, and that's what they have to do to get a win in Green Bay.
Kimberly, the Browns will win in Kansas City if...
Greeny, if the Browns can keep the Chiefs, if they make the Chiefs work hard for every yard downfield and keep them from, like, getting those explosive plays, then the Browns are in good shape defensively. On offense, they need to protect the football. Baker has to ball out, and this team has to continue playing like they belong on this big stage.
Next game, Rob Ninkovich, I'm coming to you. The Buccaneers, an underdog at New Orleans. The Buccaneers will win if...
Tom Brady has a clean pocket and is protected by his front seven. So you look at Tom Brady in the past, when he's under pressure, he's having trouble. So if they can keep him upright and protect him, I think that's going to be their best shot of winning this football game. If you don't, it's going to be a long day, and Tom's going to be screaming at everybody. So keep Tom protected. You got a shot.
Okay, and then Bart, how about your former team, the Ravens? They will win if...
yeah. If they put the ball in the hands of Josh Allen, is he an MVP candidate? Yes. But is he as progressed of a passer as people say he is? I don't believe so. So I believe you take Stephon Diggs away and see if he can beat you with his B game. So if you do that, I think he doesn't have enough. Erase him, and there are three losses. Stephon Diggs only averaged 9 yards a carry with no explosives.
I really like that. Let's, in fact, take a little closer look at that. Since week 13, these two quarterbacks, both drafted in the same class, of course, have both been extraordinary. They both have QBRs over 90, double-digit touchdown passes. Allen's 15 touchdowns are actually tied with Aaron Rodgers for the most in the league over this stretch. But we were having a great conversation this morning in our meeting, and I'd love to bring it here about the strategy. RC, I want you to hear this. Bart, very quickly, run through how you would design the defense against Buffalo this weekend if you were calling it for Baltimore.
Listen, I'm coming up in a defensive meeting. I'm saying, listen, we just stopped the best running game in the business last week. We can stop these guys with a light box. What we're going to do is we're going to take away his favorite weapon in Stephon Diggs. We're not going to do it by putting Marlon Humphreys on him, our best corner. We're going to take him away by putting our second best corner, who's pretty damn good as well, in Peters. But guess what, Peters? We're not going to have you out there being Delta O'Neal trying to jump everything. We're going to put a safety behind you. We're going to double Diggs. We're going to put the heavy lifting on Humphreys, who's our best corner, to take away their number two guy. We should be able to erase him, and guess what? We've been waiting for you, Jimmy Smith, to try and earn your paycheck. We want you to come over here with this kid with the weak kneecap and dominate him in Beasley in the slot. And guess what? Everybody else, we're going to handle this weak run game. And let's see if Josh Allen can surgically dissect us. And don't get too cute with all these exotic blitzes. Keep eyes on him. And listen, the Ravens are the craziest team to worry about, because they blitz all the time where they don't have to. They have two elite pass rushers. Let those guys work, earn their money, put that cheese on their taco.
What do you think, Ryan Clark, putting the cheese on a taco? What do you think, RC?
I think it sounds good. And also, we've seen this from teams in the past. Darrell Revis, when he was in New England, was employed many times on the number two wide receiver, and Devin McCourty would be the guy over the top of number one while the second corner was on him. So we've seen this work before. Another thing I would add to this is that Josh Allen struggles against cover two. And I know the Ravens don't major in cover two, but when you have two ball-savvy guys like Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters on the outside, give them those opportunities to see. Give them those opportunities to bait, break top down on things, and make Josh Allen earn those yards. Now, it's easier said than done, because if you're used to doing something good, like the Baltimore Ravens is, which is man-to-man, which is blitzing, a lot of times you want to impose your will on offenses. Take your time. Mark, sit there and say, you know what? We're going to play the way that beats you. We're going to adjust to what Josh Allen struggles with. And if Wink Martindale can do that, I believe the Baltimore Ravens have a great opportunity to win this game.
And then, Nico, let's go to the other side. Right. Over the summer, you are Lamar Jackson's biggest fan and supporter, and the beginning of the season obviously didn't go so well. But what has been the difference in these last 6 weeks where he's been so good, and can he do it again on Saturday night?
Look, I think it's just keeping it simple. I mean, you have the best athlete in the NFL as your quarterback. So let him do the things that he does best. Let him run around, scramble for first downs. Let him run for touchdowns and make highlights. So I just think that you don't need a call sheet. You see all these offensive coordinators with the call sheet, you know, that's twice the size of them, and they're going through all these calls. Literally, just cut your call sheet down, have your best plays ready to go, let your quarterback go out there, have fun, fly around, play power football to where you can run the football and kind of create that toughness and just run over the Bills, because I think the Bills are going to have a hard time stopping the run.
Again, the two quarterbacks from the same draft class and Baker Mayfield of that class as well, three of them on the field this weekend, all in the AFC. All right, much more football as we roll on Get Up this morning, but right now, let's go to the fights.
No fighter in UFC history has ever been champion in two weight divisions at the same time. It is all over! History has been made! Conor McGregor is the UFC lightweight champion!
Don't miss it, the next chapter in the career of the notorious Conor McGregor, UFC 257, Poirier McGregor 2, live from Fight Island, January 23rd, 10 o'clock Eastern on UFC pay-per-view, exclusively on ESPN+. And no one more excited for that than this man. UFC President Dana White is back here. Good to see you, Dana. And let's talk about Conor. He's back in the octagon for the first time in a year. During that time, he flirted with retirement. He talked about boxing. How is he approaching this fight mentally and physically?
Yeah, obviously, if you look at the things that he's posting on Instagram, he's physically ready for this fight. And the interaction that I've had with him, he is mentally and emotionally ready for this fight. When you have this type of a Conor McGregor that we're dealing with this week, it's going to be fun. And one of the big problems, I think, about this fight is a lot of people are underestimating Poirier. Poirier is not the same guy that fought Conor last time. He's been waiting for this opportunity for a very long time. He's ripped through all the best in the division. We're in for a good fight next Saturday.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute here. This is a rematch of a fight from 2014, and Poirier lost in a minute 46 seconds with a TKO. Why is it different this time?
This was one of the fights that actually exploded McGregor onto the scene, and people started to realize this guy just doesn't talk. This guy's for real. And obviously, if you look at Poirier's resume and who he's beat since that Conor McGregor fight, he's a completely different fighter than he was then, and so is Conor, for that matter.
Yeah, obviously a lot of time has gone by. What does it mean to you, quickly, if I have an extra second here, what does it mean to you to have Conor back? This obviously is the biggest name that there is. What does it mean for you and for UFC to have Conor back in a week and a half?
Yeah, he's one of the biggest superstars in all of sports, and not just in the United States, globally, around the world. You know, the UK, Brazil, Australia. This kid is a global superstar for us, and obviously every time he fights, it's fun, it's exciting, it creates tons of energy all over the world. So it's a big deal.
In the meantime, Dana, tomorrow's UFC card is on ABC. It's the first time there has been a fighting sport on ABC in 20 years. ABC used to be the home of all the boxing greats. So what does it mean to you and to UFC to be on ABC tomorrow?
I'm one of those guys that grew up on ABC's Wide World of Sports. Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, the list goes on and on. And, right after the weigh-ins today, I talked to the fighters because most of these kids don't remember ABC's Wide World of Sports, but it's a big deal. It's a very big deal for me personally. It's a big deal for the company and obviously for this young up-and-coming talent to get to showcase their skills on ABC. We're very excited.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Maybe it'll just be the beginning. Meanwhile, while I have you, I have to ask you one more thing. Anyone who knows you knows how much you love the Patriots, knows how much you love Tom Brady. What has it been like for you watching him making this playoff run? We'll see what happens this weekend, making this playoff run in a different jersey.
I'm very excited for him. You know, he's a friend of mine, and, I knew that he was going to do well this season. And, I'm excited. I've been a fan. I've been watching the Patriots all season, and I've been watching the Bucks. So, and listen, Cormier, our former light heavyweight champion, Cormier, is a huge New Orleans fan. I'm tired of listening to this guy and his big mouth. So I'm hoping Brady's going to shut him down this weekend.
Okay. We will look forward to it again. So much coming up for you over the next week and a half, and we'll be talking about it as we work our way towards it. Good to see you. Good luck, Dana. Thanks a million.
You too. Thank you, all buddy.
Right. Take care, and we will see it again. Tomorrow, UFC Fight Night is back on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi for the first time ever. As mentioned, it's on ABC. It's a special 3 o'clock Eastern start for the main card with former champ and number one flyweight contender Max Holloway taking on the number 6 contender Calvin Kattar in the explosive main event. The stacked card for the prelims starts at noon Eastern on ESPN+. All right, we go back to the NFL next. Why one of our analysts is comparing Aaron Rodgers with Michael Jordan, and why that might be the key for Rodgers winning the Battle of the Aarons. That's next. I just want to be a legend. People know my name and they never gonna forget it. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hey, we already know what it is, bro. Yes, sir. We got to set the tone. Yes, sir. We got to set the tone.
Ain't nowhere else I'd rather be.
We're coming out here to work that up.
Futures all made up in your head.
Let's go, it's on, dog. It's our time, you feel me?
This is when you go home. You know, you got to give it everything now.
Leaping grab Davante Adams. Touchdown, Packers.
Let's go. We really do cherish these opportunities, and we're going to make the most of everything that's in our control.
Rams, Packers at legendary Lambeau tomorrow kicks off the NFL playoff weekend. And when the Packers host that game, they'll be taking on one of the best defenses in the league. The Rams allow just 5.2 yards per drop back this season, the lowest mark in the league. So it really is strength on strength. And let's talk about it. RC, I know you put together some tape for us here on this Rams defense. What are we looking at?
Well, we all know I love the Rams and I love Aaron Donald. I also love Jalen Ramsey, but this is about the stars and the other guys, and you'll watch throughout the season, they all made big plays. Here you're going to see Aaron Donald get a double team that gives Leonard Floyd an opportunity to push the pocket from the outside. Justin Hollins bangs David Montgomery. He gets his eyes inside. Leonard Floyd forces Nick Foles out of the pocket. That's an easy play for Justin Hollins. Here is one of my favorite plays of the season. Do you know why DK Metcalf's in the slot? Because he's running from Jalen Ramsey. But watch John Johnson here. He's keying in back inside. You throw the pass to DK. I know you hit the weight, DK, but take these pads, eat this leather. And here is one of Aaron Donald's greatest plays or best plays from last week. He's going to get the double team because of the look of pressure. Justin Hollins falls back. He gets an opportunity to play the back, but the tackle doesn't get in the inside. You can't block Aaron Donald with one man. You know that, but he can bring you down with one hand. The Rams understand they have superstars, but it's been the play of the rest of the defense that's allowed them to ascend to one of the top defenses in the NFL, and they'll need all these people if they plan to stop Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Davante Adams.
That's really good. So it's the number one defense against the number one offense, Rob Ninkovich. When that happens, what do you expect?
Aaron Rodgers is too good, man. He is too good. When you watch Aaron Rodgers, the way that he can play this game, and look, I grew up in Chicago, right? I watched MJ my whole life. MJ perfected the fadeaway. Aaron Rodgers has perfected the fall away fadeaway pass. And not only can he fade away from pressure, falling backwards, he can throw dimes from that fadeaway. So just like MJ perfected the fadeaway, Aaron Rodgers has perfected the fadeaway. And when he does that, I don't care how much pressure you put on him. He's going to get the ball out of his hands. He's going to move the ball down the field. And he's having a career season for a reason. He's motivated. He's ready to go. He's in the playoffs again. So I don't care how good the Rams are. I think Aaron Rodgers is just that good.
A very interesting thought. And that obviously is the matchup that's worth the price of admission. But Kimberly, the Rams also have to play offense. And what is the situation right now with their quarterbacks?
Yeah, that might be the problem. So it'll be Jared Goff and his injured thumb or surgically repaired thumb against the Green Bay Packers, which on paper doesn't sound really good, right? But Jared Goff expressed he expressed optimism that he's trending in the right place. The fact that they're even in this spot is because backup turned starter John Wolford, he injured his neck last week against the Seahawks, so he's not available. So now we're back to Goff and the thumb. But again, the Rams express confidence. Sean McVay has said it looks like Jared Goff is trending in the right direction. However, that thumb, Jared Goff in Lambeau, I don't know. That could be a problem for the Rams.
Well, that's what we're watching. And Ninkovich, you were telling me this morning that the finger in the cold is a very bad injury to have.
Yeah, especially when you have a pin in it. So imagine you have a pin in your thumb and it's 20 degrees. I mean, they're practicing in L.A. It's like 80 and sunny. You go to Lambeau, there's going to be a pressure difference. I'm not a meteorologist. I don't know. But I just know that when you step off that plane and you go from 80 to 20, 30, I don't care if it's freezing, you're going to feel it. So anything to do with the digits, I don't know if you've ever jammed a finger, Greeny, it hurts. So imagine having a broken thumb that they put a pin in it, and now you're trying to throw a football down the field.
Of course he's never jammed a finger, Nico.
Oh, wow. Don't pick on Greeny. He's having a good day. Jets have a new head coach. Leave Greeny alone today. Let him,
you know what?
Let him do his thing.
He might have had a paper cut, but not a jammed finger.
If I had a jammed finger, I wouldn't be able to do this show, and it is very nice and warm here in the studio. I'm being told it's going to be 30 degrees, 50% chance of snow tomorrow at Lambeau Field. So we will see how, if at all, that impacts Jared Goff. Right, much more on that game as we go. But meanwhile, happy anniversary, Bart Scott. 10 years ago tomorrow, one of the most famous games, or at least one of the most famous post-game interviews of all time. The New York Jets went into Foxborough and beat the Patriots in a playoff game to advance to the AFC Championship. It is, by the way, the last playoff game the New York Jets have won. But after the game, Sal Palantonio approached Bart Scott and history was made.
So how did that just feel?
Feel great. Poetic justice. For all you non-believers, disrespect us. Talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league. All we hear is about their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed. 25th in the league, and we the one to get disrespected.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
10 years ago tomorrow. Why is Bart the only one not laughing? You're the star of the moment, Bart.
He wasn't laughing.
When you think about it, and everyone has connections to that, by the way, that I'll get to in a minute. But go ahead, Bart. When 10 years ago, what do you think?
It's when keeping it real goes wrong, right? You know, the equivalent to that in this playoffs is Cleveland going to Kansas City. It's an insurmountable task, so to speak. We knew we had beat the Patriots earlier in the year. They destroyed us on Monday Night Football in a game that was important. But we knew that we had to switch it up. That's why I'm talking about the Ravens switching it up. They expected us to be man-to-man. We switched up to matchup zone. And, you know, that's what was the greatness about that matchup. Because it was a lot of times one-sided, but it was the adjustments. It was the football acumen that every player on both teams had to have. You know what I mean? That's why I loved about it. But it's one of those things, it's the Rocky moment. I wish we could have finished the deal last, the following week when we went to Pittsburgh. You know, I hate that we went down that way because I feel like we should have beat Pittsburgh 4th-and-1 from the 1 4 times. We had a cute coordinator that decided to throw the ball twice on the 1-yard line when you have a 260-pound tailback. Can't wait would have been a much better moment if we'd have been able to take care of Pittsburgh the next week, which we should have. All you can ask for in football is 4 chances from the 1-yard line to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay. So, but the key here was the can't wait. So, RC, you were on that Pittsburgh team, so you have a connection to this. But Rob Ninkovich, that New England defense that couldn't stop a nosebleed, you were on that defense. What's your response?
Hey, for my defense, I actually tore my LCL in that game, and I was out. And there was a key play on third down that my backup went in the game and he blew the call. So if I was in the game, They would have punted. We would have won that game if I didn't get hurt. I'm telling you.
Everybody would have won. There's one thing I've learned about former players. Everybody would have won every game if just one thing had happened. All right, 10 years ago tomorrow, it's the stuff of legend. As we continue, Patrick Mahomes has lost just 9 games in his career. There was a thread of commonality amongst all of those that could spell trouble for Kansas City on Sunday. You'll hear what that is next.